And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth. Yes, it's still brought to you by Coins Plus, as it has been for the last few weeks or years or decades. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Coins Plus is always involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins, precious metals, scrap gold jewelry, and diamonds. We buy coins, we buy collections. We do specialize in wealth and capital preservation, and we build precious metals portfolios for people. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service in a very large region. We do have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry, where we're, you know, it's not our primary focus. It's a service we provide. Our goals and desires are to give you a viable option for precious stones and diamond rings and things like that at very fair wholesale prices. Again, we buy all forms of gold, all forms of silver, you know, old silver coins, silver dollars, everything. And I had a person here. Well, by the way, our phone number, local in Spokane, which is a 509 area code, 444-0044. Toll-free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through the website at coinsplus.com. I want to tell you before I forget, now through, is it Labor Day or Memorial Day? I get them confused. Now through Labor, whatever it is. The next three-day weekend that comes, I think, in September. Anyway, for the summer, we are closed on Saturdays. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6:30. Right now, we are closed on Saturdays. For those of you that want to call or come in on Saturdays, we are unavailable. If there was, you know, substantial activity, an estate or something that we need to look at, I am willing to consider appointments, but it would have to be substantial since it's going to be drawing directly from my family and free time. We do that for the employees. We're normally open Saturdays, but we do that for the employees over the summer so they can have a good time with their family, enjoy themselves, and enjoy the sun, because we all know in the Northwest it sure doesn't last long enough. It's interesting, a lot of people are not as excited about sunshine as I am. My wife and I were doing some outside work yesterday, and I was just sweating my tail off, and I said, I love it. I mean, I just love that time of the year when you get to sweat. I'm so much happier sweating in the sunshine than I am freezing my tail off in the cold. And I've mentioned I grew up in Montana. I've seen some pretty harsh, nasty winters. And people say, well, you should be used to it then. It shouldn't bother you. And as I've said before, I believe it's just the opposite. I think you get your threshold. People that move up here from other parts of the country, and they think it's, you know, they like it. It's new to them. I've seen people that have come from Kenya and things like this that have never seen or touched snow, literally think it's the coolest thing they've ever seen. I've seen foreign exchange students that they think it's the coolest thing they've ever seen, and literally a week or two later, they are tired of it. And so, not to be negative, it's a beautiful area to live for the four seasons. We get a lot of beauty, but anyway, enough said about that. A minute ago, I was going to say, I had a customer in here recently that was selling a fair amount of stuff off. They had an estate from a family member who'd passed, and it was a conglomerated coin collection that had been collected by three generations over time. And when they came in, they said, you know, we're afraid to, we're kind of embarrassed, I guess, to sell this. I said, why? They said, oh, because you're always, you know, telling everybody you need this stuff or whatever. And I'm like, you know, that's the whole point. The point is it's a liquid asset. You have every right to do with it what you please. If we told everybody to just buy and never sell, we wouldn't have any product to sell. Don't ever apologize for selling. 99% of the time, it's not our business. Every once in a while, if you're a real solid customer I've worked with over time, you know, and you want some advice on what to do, I'll happily give it to you. There's times that people say, where's the market at? And folks, where the market is right now is in the summer doldrums. This is an absolute cycle. June, July, and August, well, more like July and August. It just is the low point of every year in the metals. It's gone, like in 21 years, I literally think that 19 of them have seen the lowest buying opportunity of the year around these summer hot months. I guess all the real big players go out and play on their 150-foot yachts out or something. The volumes go down, the trading, you know, things. People just, I think they go out and enjoy life. So in all honesty and complete candidness, if you are thinking of investing, this is legitimately probably the single best opportunity you're going to see in a very long time price-wise. I mean, you've got, I've always, you know, hear me mention short-term, mid-term, and long-term markets, okay? Short-term, it's a bottom-ish. Mid-term, it's a bottom. Long-term, it's a bottom. And, you know, essentially we come down, we get down into the $16 silver range and the, you know, $1,200 and change gold. And it's just a good time to be buying. I mean, you hear me say that a fair amount. I believe it. It's so important when you buy metals anyway, or precious metals portfolios, as we call them, that you are very value-oriented. Preservation quality, not price, is the focus of what we do. People who buy based on price only are missing the whole point. It is it's a cumulative effect of wealth, and it's really hard. You know, there's so many ways I could go off on a tangent there easy. There's so many ways that we as Americans have been lied to and brainwashed. And I'll tell you what, folks, our money and our investing is one of them. Everybody thinks they got to buy stocks and bonds and mutual funds, the hot item, you know, whatever's big this week and whatever the broker peddles and pushes. And, you know, that is so not the appropriate attitude to have under any circumstances. If you're really honest with yourself, it is driven by some deep-rooted sense of maybe even greed a little bit. Because when you buy an investment like that, what do you really want? If you buy an investment, I should say, with that mindset, what is it that you're really looking for? Are you looking for big moves in the stock to make yourself some big bucks? If you are, it always turns out the wrong way. Sound decisions are just not made with money in the headlights. It's got to be made in a conservative, Christian, you know, biblical, godly way with the brain God gave you. And I've got a number of different things tugging at me here that I want to talk about today, and I'm going to have to kind of resist some of the urges. But, you know, one of them is Proverbs 8, and it's, you know, appropriate for the day, as today is, it's appropriate for tomorrow. How about that? As today is the 7th. And, but Proverbs 8, I think I read ahead because I was reading too much. And there's some cool stuff there about wisdom and how to live your life. And I'd like to talk about that, and I'd like to talk about finances a little bit. In the meantime, I'd like to bounce through a few basic concepts or whatever. One in particular, this, you know, Trump is in Poland. And, folks, I mean, we talk about this regularly. We've seen I don't know how close y'all watch the news. In fact, I'm going to take you off on a little light side trail here briefly. I know I talked to quite a few listeners that do not watch TV. Well, praise hallelujah for you. I don't watch TV per se. I watch news, and that's about it. And my wife and I watch movies that we can control what's coming into the house. And, you know, any more from Hollywood, there's just a lot of junk. And you have to sift through a little bit of that. Just, you know, to me, I kind of base things a little bit on movies as a little bit of within reason how they reflect reality of humanity. It's not a matter of if everybody in the movie is a perfect born-again believer. We obviously need to fill ourselves with wholesome material. But what you run into a lot with movies is an absolute extreme exaggeration of whatever it may be. If it's violence, you know, it's a bloodbath, slaughter. And by the way, my wife and I absolutely despise and always have despised horror films. Horror films, if anybody out there watches them, I say stop now. No matter what you say, they are absolutely demonic. Why do I say that? I think you probably know. But if you can't figure it out, they always have a very dark, nasty spiritual undertone. And what else do? They overemphasize, exaggerate the power of the dark side. You've always got the dark side that's too strong to stop, and there's no good side, and everyone's running in fear, and you know, and God says you're not supposed to be in fear like that. And they're unreasonable, unrealistic, not true, and they're just heinously, you know, disgusting and filled with gratuitous violence. That stuff is absolute trash. I've heard people, believers, say, oh, I like them. I like to be scared. Well, you know, God gave us what's called the fight or flight instinct for a very good reason, didn't he? Because it's designed to preserve our lives. We should not falsely stimulate that which God gave us for a very good, sound reason at all. It's not something that we need to do. There's a lot of things in our lives that we shouldn't be stimulating, and that's one of them. It's not, you know, our fight or flight instinct is there for a very good reason, and we don't want to trigger that, especially with filth and garbage. And I'm not sure why I'm on this topic, but I believe that I do pray, and sometimes I believe the Spirit leads me down a path. So if you're listening to this stuff or watching it, don't. And I'll tell you along those same lines, folks, I live in frustration so often of Christians and their behavior in the real world and their justification and their minimization and the sin that's in their life. And, you know, there's a side of us that struggles, okay, and that may fall into sin, and it's a battle, and it's frustrating, and it's tough, and we want out, and it can get sad, and we can get despair, and it's just got a grip on us. Probably one of the greatest struggles man goes through of all is severe addictions to whatever it may be, something to do with the way we are designed. You know, right now they're on this ridiculous opioid epidemic. You know, they're twisting statistics and all that. I know because I've tracked them over the years as a statistician. And it's, you know, I could not figure out why are they doing this so excessively. And then I heard in the Trump care plan, they are lobbying their tails off to get big money put against this opioid epidemic, you know. And I'll tell you, yes, there's definitely a big heavy-duty negative drug use going on. And the biggest, one of the biggest problems is the internet, because everything that gets put on there is permanent. It's indelible ink. And so when people put on truths or fallacies, it doesn't matter. There it lies. I happen to know a three-letter branch of government that actually testified before Congress years back about certain activities that they say were being propagated on the internet. But this three-letter branch of government was allowed to go on the internet and create false personas to lure in people that were engaged in that style of life. And they accidentally ended up using the false personas and the false stories, testimonials of extreme drug users and drug dealers that they had created themselves on the web to bait people in. They used that to persuade Congress to give them more money. Supposedly it was an accident. I can't guarantee you that. But the internet overemphasizes every bad thing that's happened. And in addition to that, another, you know, I don't want to go down this road, but Google drives me nuts because they keep saying that they've improved their algorithm. And what that means is that they say you get more accurate hits when you search. Now, I know a ton of you don't, you think you don't use Google. If you use, you know, any of these smart screening methods, website methods, I can't remember all the names of them all, but I can tell you that they filter through Google. What they'll do is they'll have a VPN, and that VPN will filter from one IP address. They'll bring everyone else's IP in, and they'll filter through it. Moral of the story is even if you think you're using these anonymous non-Google sources, you really are going through Google. You just don't realize you're doing it. So Google is now have such an extreme control and capture over information. They are literally purging things. I was sitting with a friend the other day, and we were looking up some stuff on the web that we'd all seen before, and it was all gone. It had been purged. Google's been to the White House over 400 times during the Obama administration, the CEO. Why do you suppose that is? Just because they're good friends, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they are the largest disseminators of information in the history of the world. Probably the latter, and you need to be so smart. People will all come up with the same information when they do research on Google or wherever they may go, because Google filters what you do and don't get, and they are absolutely abusing the politically correct concept in their own favor. I personally don't understand it whatsoever, but it is a little bit extreme. So along the Trump lines, he's speaking in Poland, going to the G20 summit. We have these incredible protests, supposedly, if you want to call them that. They are not protesters, folks. They're rioters, and you've got fake news, and they attack Trump for everything he says, and he complains that, you know, a dignitary, I can't remember who it was walking over to, he was standing next to his wife, and she walked by, and it looked from a side angle like she was going to shake Trump's hand. He reached his hand out. She walked right by him and shook Melania's hand. CNN took that clip, posted it everywhere, and said that the royal, you know, whatever it was, snubbed him. But they didn't add the next 3 seconds of the tape in where she immediately turned from Melania, turned straight to Trump, and got a handshake. Now, why does that matter? The guy's Twitter feed said OMG, which means oh my G. And he said, and there's 140 characters, and he repeated it however many times that is, 49 times, OMG, 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 OMG. And then he said, I can't remember who did it, but anyway, just say, queen or first lady, snubs Trump, and it's a total lie. So why is that relevant? It's relevant because the OMG, it's first of all, it's fake news. Secondly, he absolutely puts his emotional involvement as a journalist on display, showing clearly his extreme level of bias. It is so politically correct now to be a lefty that people have no shame at bias if they're on the left. If they're on the right, They're called alt-right radical conservatives, and they're a threat to the nation. And, you know, you all know what I'm talking about out there, right? We are hitting a absolute crux. We're hitting an absolute pinnacle, crescendo, at least what I believe appears to be some kind of a crescendo in the system. Because how much further can it go? Well, here's how much further it can go. Look at North Korea. Look at tyrannical leadership. There is so much negative behavior, tortures, punishments, starvation, all these horrible things that happen in these tyrannical governments, these communist governments. And we need to be so aware, folks, that this stuff is being fed to us all the time. They have a spirit of objectionist. They call it critical theory, okay? And it's basically, it's critical theory is based on Marxism. And what it basically does is it causes people to continually complain and nag and moan and express utter displeasure without ever offering a solution. You attack everybody for being sexist and racist and hedonistic and xenogenic and or xenophobic or, you know, all these things. You just load it up and you just keep throwing it at them and you keep throwing it at them and you keep throwing it at them. And the thing is after a while, it wears everybody down. We start to think, hey, where there's smoke, there has to be fire, right? No. You know, we go back to Friedrich Nietzsche, the big philosopher. What did he say? God is dead. Behold, I give you the Superman. And then in Satan we trust. Do what has to be done. These are Satan's secret agents. They have what's called the Frankfurt School, which I didn't really prepare today to go over. But essentially, they've got this agenda that came over as communism. And basically, they created their own school, primarily through Columbia University. And they began to create an environment of absolute destruction to advance their quiet cultural revolution. You can call it cultural Marxism, okay? It's the Frankfurt School made 12 recommendations. This is so influential on our society, folks. So influential, okay? So they made 12 recommendations. All of these are calculated to specifically undermine the foundations of our society and create the dystopia we are now seeing all around us. So what happened was people used to have slight disagreements over politics or religion or whatever it may be, but politics in particular. And the combat now is so extreme and so harsh, and now we've got the younger generation literally believing that, well, I don't know if I can use the word believe, sure, believing that freedom of speech gives them the right to suppress your speech. Freedom of speech holds true as long as it's their speech. And we need to remain so conscientious of this and what's going on out there and how significant and profound it really is. I mean, it is so influential in our society that you, more than you even know, it's just changed. Even in the culture of movies, attitude towards police, we're becoming more and more of a police state. I've had my own pleasure of, you know, being harassed here and there for various things. And, you know, they really, the probable cause is a thing of the past. It does, you know, in a lot of cases, they're allowed to fudge the truth. and say that they experienced or viewed some subjective action that gives them the right to pursue you. Now, people might say, hey, you're being critical of law enforcement. Well, we are a land of rules and laws. And the other problem that's going on is the fact that you get one shooting after the next, after the next, after the next of police officers. The problem is when each one of these police officers is shot, we look at the humanity of that person and we're like, that's unfair. It's not good. Like the female police officer that was shot here recently with children and everything else. But we don't look at the big picture, what's causing it. Now, it's so hard for me to kind of bounce this stuff around because I don't in the least agree with this radical anti-establishment, anarchist, you know, whatever you want to call it, at all. I do believe that police officers have got to strive to be as good of people in their job as they are when they're not doing their job. What I mean by that is just to be decent to people. And I'm not saying, you know, just to be a ice cold robot. And I'm not saying to be overly kind to, you know, people that are just off the rails. But I think so much of it is discernment. And police officers are being taught to trust no one. Everyone is the enemy. They are no longer truly here to serve and protect. They are here to issue tickets. Now, this is, I'm sure, going to just offend somebody out there. I'm sure I have some police officers that listen. But the fact is, if you signed up to be a police officer and you are nothing more than a revenue tax agent, and what does that mean? That means if you drive around and issue tickets all day, and you take your job and yourself so serious that you actually believe that you're making society a better place by, you know, hyper-enforcing a lot of laws that are marginal to begin with, you're not helping society. And I really apologize for anyone that may offend inappropriately, but I'm just, you know, it's the same call for a law enforcement officer as I would give to any professional. Use your discernment. Don't ever be vengeful. Don't be angry. Make sure, you know, people are just being treated right. You know, people I know have had experiences where they literally do not drink. I know in particular of two cases where they've been, you know, pulled over for no infraction, crossing the center line in a long drive or whatever, and being forced to go through all the field sobriety tests, even though all the evidence shows there is no obvious intoxication, but that's their new thing. They want the revenue. The revenue is massive for the courts. They have this pressure on them to perform. So anyway, to advance the quiet cultural revolution, call it cultural Marxism, the Frankfurt School was set up in order to diplomatically, articulately, you know, I don't know how else to put it, secretly, covertly, palatably, you know, put forth these sets of ideas and rules, and, you know, so they made these 12 recommendations. I've kind of gone off about that enough. As I said, they are all calculated to undermine the foundations of society and create the dystopia we have all around us. What's a dystopia? What's a utopia? Okay, a utopia is a perfect ideal environment, right? It's like heaven. Heaven is utopia. Dystopia is just the opposite. It is a place that is overwhelmed, infiltrated, however you want to put it, with negativity, with dis, bad. You know, we're looking at Greek or, you know, dystopia. So here's what they are. One, the creation of racism offenses and hate speech laws. Okay? Now think about it. People have been full of hate as far back as we can go. What's even worse is you can go back to some of the most black countries in history, and their leaders, black leaders, would sell their people into slavery as a primary income source, revenue generator, okay? Not that it's okay at all, but they make this impression as if we are the root of all of it, okay? America, folks, we have turned it around. We have set the bar higher. We have set the standard for racism or a lack thereof. We have let every man be free. Every man is free in this country, hypothetically. You don't know what I mean by that. Racism is truly dead. But now they're abusing that word so much, it's just continuous hatred, vitriol, and destructive speech. It's absolutely the kind of speech that's forbidden by the Bible. We cannot, you know, accept that stuff. We've got to remain aware and alert to it because it's constantly, we're constantly under attack from it. And it's basically, you know, people, I talked earlier, fight or flight, right? So you've got these combative individuals that set themselves up. For example, when Obama was kicking off his Affordable Care Act. You like how it was Obamacare till it failed, and then it's for sure the Affordable Care Act now, even though it's not for affordable at all. At the event, there was a number of people. There was one in particular was a black man. The black man was carrying weapons, freely carrying, open carry, legal. CNN and MSNBC, CNN primarily, photographed his guns and clipped out everything to do with his race, the fact that he was black. And he did get interviewed and he did have his head on straight. Then they went on TV and implied that it was white racists threatening the blacks that wanted the Affordable Care Act. Obama's team or supporters, you know, they want to paint everybody, the Tea Party, the conservatives, as these radical alt-right, whoever made that name up, just radical kooks that want to absolutely destroy Obama because of his race. And so this agenda prevents them from ever admitting that racism has nothing to do with our outward protest of his behavior. Racism in America had settled down. We had hit a level of calmness, okay? If people choose to segregate themselves, that's really their choice, isn't it? But our society forces them together, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's even one remote thing wrong with it. I'm just saying people should be free to do whatever they want, right? And so they force the people together, and then they start to cry racism. If you disagree with a person of minority skin color, that's racism. It's not that you just have your own private intellect. It's racism. So they need to create these false narratives, these false areas of combat that create continuous chaos that's never resolved, that's never makes any sense, okay? Remember Occupy Wall Street when reporters literally walked around and asked everybody, why are you here? They'd say, I don't know, big corporations have ruined our lives. After a while, they began to get a little more well-trained in how to answer the questions, but they couldn't even defend it in a normal conversation. We saw violence break out, hostility. It's really sad that people can't see the difference between who's causing what problem. We sit in a situation where the left creates sheer and utter violence and vandalism, and then through the media, they're able to spin it back onto the right. It is propaganda. Now, I don't understand if people are on the left exactly how they can fall for this lie. other than absolutely sheltering themselves from Fox News or whatever else. Now, I'm not a proponent of Fox News per se, but I think most of you know that if you're going to be listening to anything to do with news, you're going to hear a lot more accurate things coming out of Fox News than you will anywhere else on cable. So we've got to create for the Frankfurt School, Western Marxism. They called it their spread. They called it the continuing the work of the Western Marxists by any means necessary. That's one of their members' quotes. So the second calculated recommendation, I guess, to further this cause from the Frankfurt school. Number one was this, the creation of racism offenses and hate speech laws. You know, that is control of free speech. Hate speech laws. Hate speech. Call it what you want. Hate speech. That means not only does they deem it hate or vile or disrespectful or whatever it may be, they're saying that they hate you and they hate speech. So they're right. It is hate speech. They hate speech. The second recommendation or principle or pinnacle is continual change to create confusion. Okay. We see this a lot in school curriculum all the time, but we see it everywhere. And what is interesting, a verse that I discussed on the show just recently is Proverbs, my old standby, where it literally is forbidding us, encouraging us to be wise by avoiding those who are given to change, okay? So if you think about what I'm saying here, Proverbs 24:21, it says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to continuous change." Are given to change, as it says in the Hebrew. So, first of all, when you read Proverbs, realize it was written for his son. If it's good enough for his son, it's good enough for you. From the wisest and richest man to ever live, surely because of the blessings of God. That's a pretty good resource of information. He had God's wisdom. We don't understand it. He had it. Even the way he wrote it was eloquent and amazing. So he says, let's piece this together a little bit. My son, fear the Lord, okay? What's the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So he says, fear the Lord and the king. He's saying basically one builds to the next. You fear God, you fear the king. Why? The king is a hierarchy that God has created, a leadership, a government that God has created. A solid king is a solid nation. It's a solid peace. And you know, folks, there's always been politics. There's always been people livid that the king has more or whatever. So he says, fear God, then fear the king, okay? Because the king can do many, many tough things to you. So we go, God, king. Then it flips over. And what's it say? Do not associate with those who are given to change. The word change, which I discussed recently, is shana. Okay, it's just as it sounds. It's Hebrew, shana. And it means to alter, change, to be changed, to manipulate. It's to constantly overturn. To not let things remain at rest, to create continuous chaos and mayhem. This, my friends, is the word for liberalism today. Change. They want change. They're not happy with the status quo or the tradition that's last forever. Obviously, when we get into governments, what's ironic The left wants change from conservative, traditional conservatism to liberal socialism. Think about what it says. Fear God and fear the king. The root of that is obviously extraordinarily, traditionally biblical. Fear God first, that supersedes all others. Fear the king. He's in charge. And that's the tradition. And do not associate with those who are given to change. So he's saying, live a traditional conservative life and avoid those that just can't settle for what's right and true traditionally over time, right? We don't want to do that. We want to be aware. Few people understand that the left, the phrases for the left and the right actually come from the Bible, as far as I can tell. And what that means is when you walk into Congress and, you know, the left is liberal and the right is conservative, it says that basically the fool goes to the left, the wise man goes to the right. So if you think about what he's saying, he's telling us that the fool goes to the left. Left-wingers, unfortunately, are foolish. They're not biblically wise. Worldly, they may look like superheroes, but to God, they're fools. And this is why God put, or man chose, to do the left and the right in Congress. Absolutely the case. So please be aware of this, that this is also laid down by God himself. We need to absolutely understand that. Now, to continue on, we've got continual change to create confusion, liberalism. They've got to have constant change. We expect that out of our college kids now, right? We say, but we don't like what's going on now, do we? Because, boy, they're going for change out of sheer ignorance. And so much of life to me comes to the Proverbs 18:2 about the fool that takes no pleasure in understanding but only expresses his own opinion. Number three, recommendation. Perverted, I'll call it, sexual propaganda in our school systems, right? They combine the homosexualization of children, the corruption by exposing them to child pornography, literally in the classroom is my understanding now, and that's based on some pretty serious fact that I won't get into right now, but they are essentially exposing our kids to what they call sex ed, which is basically telling them to do whatever they feel like, and if they make a mistake they're not comfortable with, they can go have an abortion. Kids don't know the power and the price they pay for that. And women will pay for that their entire lives for their lost child. The fourth recommendation for cultural Marxism. The systematic undermining of parental and teacher's authority. All authority. Stand up. Fight for your rights. You know, don't respect the cop. Call him three-letter words or four-letter words or whatever it is you want to call him. It doesn't really matter. What matters is, you know, the fact that our hierarchical structure is being torn down. We have honor your father and your mother and you'll live a long, healthy, happy life. That is literally at the root of all of the stuff to do with authority. If you don't know how to respect your parents, you'll never respect anybody. Number five recommendation for cultural Marxism, huge immigration to destroy national identity, foment future race wars, and, well, we'll just leave it at that. That's a good place. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious that, you know, to basically encourage high volume immigration leading to legal or illegal immigration and also swinging the vote in two ways. One, illegals vote. Two, if they get citizenship, they're going to vote left. Even though it's not their country, they want the free handouts that go with it. Number seven, recommendation by the cultural Marxists, is the systematic promotion of sexual deviance in society. I think I touched on that a minute ago. The fact that homosexuality, lesbianism, and even in pornography, I mean, just to take things over the top, you know, not that I say things that are controversial, and I think people try to misquote me or misunderstand me. I'm not saying any of this is good or anything like that, but I'm just telling you that they essentially systematically promote sexual deviancy, and they create sexual deviance. They spark that emotion early, and they get it going. You know what I'm saying? The systematic promotion of excessive drinking and recreational drugs. Party, man, party on, no self-control, you know, the last but never near the least fruit of the spirit, self-control. They've got to encourage people to lack no self-control, discipline. It's all sin. They say engage yourself. This is what the indoctrination is to the kids in a college campus. Of course, they'll say it's not, but it is. You and I both know. Number eight, an unreliable legal system with bias against the victims of the crime. We've created an unreliable legal system that it can make a mockery out of justice at times. People can be, you know, we've all seen the runaway jury awards. People who smoked out there, folks, it was your choice. You can't tell me after a certain period of time you didn't know it was bad for you. And they say, yeah, but I was addicted. Well, you know, you're inhaling smoke. Have you ever seen what happens to people in fires that inhale smoke? There's people that are dead from one fire whose lungs don't look as bad as some smokers. Number nine, if you want to call it recommendation or whatever it may be for the advancement of cultural Marxism, dependency on state benefits, we know about that, welfare, Medicare, Medicaid. 10, control and dumbing down of the media, that we've got six major corporations that own 97, almost 98% of the world's media, okay? George Soros is a huge proponent, CNN, etc. And number 12, so we got the encouraging of the breakdown of the family, which is really hard on me because I personally think family is at the root of all things. So the cultural socialism, they want to take away the family. They want to make the government your family, and that's the problem. And number 12, all-out attack on Christianity, and literally the disassembling or emptying of churches. So this is something that has gone way far above and beyond in this nation, and it's concerning, to say the very least. And I just want to make sure that you're aware of it, and you know, hopefully you are. So we've got all these different facets that they're intentionally pushing on us to get us to fall into line for their agenda, and when we don't, the pressure comes on hard and fast, is why they need the police state, why they need the schools and the media. Folks, what is the end game in this? There's only one way to stop the train. Some form of rebellion. I don't know what, where, when, how, or why, but I'm telling you, that's the only hope there is. But I don't know who would all join or what they would do, or if they always have moles in the crowd. They've always got somebody that you know, is very unreasonably dishonest or whatever. So now that we are tick-tock, as usual, I will touch on a few things. I was kind of getting, I think I touched on some of the philosophies of the Frankfurt School there for you. I think it's really important to understand, you know, so anyhow, we've got, you know, what's going on in the world. We've got the North Korea issues, you know, where they're just stomping in our face. Another quick side note I want to pop in here that's a little bit random but meaningful to me. Pets, pet care in the summer, okay? Do not leave a dog in a hot environment that you would not tolerate yourself. You don't do what some friends did over the weekend and put your dog in a scalding hot car on a summer day and say, oh, but I left the windows open. I challenge you to go stand. I mean, it just makes me sick and sad. I don't want to get into it. Take care of your animals. There are some people that just don't get it. They don't understand that mammals have personalities and perceptions, and they really do just want to please. Some dogs are a little bit wilder than others, but overall, they're man's best friend for a reason. So let's see what else we've got here. So remember that. Take care of your pets. And if you see somebody locking their dog in a car on the middle of a hot day, call the pet, you know, 911. They'll get someone out there. I guarantee it. You know, they'll get them out there and they'll talk to them. And once they receive a warning, they'll, you know, follow through accordingly. So, I guess. So anyway, so we've got one other thing. We've got North Korea. I got so many notes here. I don't even know where to begin. I'll buzz through them. 2018, we've got the Korean Olympics again. South Korea, which is very, well, we don't know for sure, but most of all, yeah, anyway, so let's just keep rolling here. Time is not my friend today, and you know me, Mr. Long-Winded. So we've got the Olympics in South Korea coming up in 2018. The biggest fear is North Korea could lob nukes over there. They've got nukes. They can strap them to warheads for short distances. And they have, yeah, I mean, it would be a hop, skip, and a jump for them. We'd literally have minutes to prepare, which is nowhere enough. North Korea is a threat. If you don't believe me, go online and look at their defectors' descriptions of the tortures and beatings they were given. They're so heinous and disgusting. I mean, you can't even believe that humans can do this kind of stuff. There's another story where things that are made in America I talked about, they can't have that on them because it's apparently a distraction. So, yeah. So anyway, let's see what else we can highlight quickly here while we wait. Towards the end of the show, the Made in America thing, we've got all these states that have been added the amendment to their state constitution to prevent any funding assistance in the United States of America. So 4th of July was obviously a great day for independence. We do have the police state. We've got Trump's tweets. I don't want to cover that. In fact, I think I'm going to leave it lying there. I think briefly what I'm going to do is just a quick rundown of stuff that I just didn't have. You know, as we round the end of the show, and I apologize, it's Friday, Freaky Friday, Financial Friday it should have been. But let's just read some Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, And, oh, fools, understand wisdom. The opposite of naivete is prudence. That's skilled skilled logical critical behavior. The opposite of naivete, in other words, being naive, is not a good thing in God's eyes. It doesn't get you off the hook being ignorant, okay? There's ignorance and wisdom. So he says, oh, naive ones, understand prudence. And, oh, fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing crooked or perverted in them. So, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit indwells us. Obviously, we don't do this in the flesh. I'll see if I can, you know, get a few little good points in here. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction, and not silver and knowledge rather than choicest gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. And this is, I don't know if I have time to hit this, but I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. So here we go. By me kings reign, princes rule. I love those who love me. Riches and honor are with me. I'm bouncing. My fruit is better. So it basically, I was trying to get to the part where he says, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there was no depths, he goes on, before the mountains were settled, etc. Wisdom was the first thing God created. It was the most important thing to God. It should be the most important thing to us. Thanks for tuning in. Have a fantastic, sunshiny weekend. Give us a call. Let us help you handle your finances. And take care. God bless. Bye-bye.